The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, your question, episode 478. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Majoma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, people, we're back. I am back with another one. I want to give a shout out to the guys for holding it down for a couple weeks. Dealing with stuff with the mother figure, but hopefully I think things may get finally settled this week. So I will be hopefully back on a regular basis and hopefully do the Invincible podcast. Cause we haven't been able to do none of that shit. But it's good to be back with the fellas. You guys were doing some good shows, man. I've been listening, you know, thankfully there was stuff happening in the industry, you know, to talk about, you know, some controversy, which we kind of have some questions about as well.
Also shout out to the fans for all the, you know, for the Discord and all that stuff, you know. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. And you know what, real quick, Manny, since you already made this public, I want to give a shout out to your cat. Unfortunately passed away, Tut.
Yeah.
Fun name. I didn't know the cat's name until I saw the tweets. I'm like, hey, that's fun.
Well, yeah, we got him when we first moved over to Pennsylvania, and He passed away, and he was unfortunately, you know, sick. He was diagnosed with the lower intestinal cancer.
Oh, man.
And we've been going through a lot of, you know, went to doctor visits, and it started when he was sneezing and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, they gave us steroids to give him to, you know, to try to at least try to shrink the growth inside of him. And it's very painful. And just seeing him like losing weight and not being able to get up, and on Friday he wasn't good.
Man.
I mean, he did manage to muster, like, for a few days he had been sort of laying around and stuff and very little movement, you know, limp almost. And on the last day, you know, they say when someone passes away or is about to pass, they give that one bit of energy. And he hadn't run to the door whenever we would come back from, you know, going to the store in a long time. And that one day, Friday, he came over, he ran to us like he used to. But then after that, he was just limping. So late Friday, we had to take him in.
Yeah.
And he passed away in our arms.
So condolences, you know. Part of the family too, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
You see
the chair over here, you know, that's where he sometimes would sit. So, yeah, it's... We're still feeling it here, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just having him around, just hearing him, you know. Again, he's been here as long as we have, and yeah.
All right, man. So I had to do that, and without further ado, I don't know if I said this already, but Chris will be on a little bit later. Hopefully, the daughter's awake and apparently active. Man, kids.
I feel like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've never. But then again, like. I feel like when I was a little, I don't think I've ever had that much of a battle when it came to falling asleep with my mom. But then again, obviously every kid is different.
Yeah, every kid's different, yeah. Yeah. All right, man, let's get into it. Let's start off with Mr. Mob Hits here. We got to talk about this game. Is the Stellar Blade demo worth the hype? So the Stellar Blade demo really dropped this week. If you guys remember,
yes.
I think it was like a week or two ago. They kind of accidentally launched it on PlayStation. Some people played it, but then they pulled it off. And even if you downloaded this shit, you couldn't access it. But no, people actually were playing the game. I believe it dropped on Friday. And I believe most of us have played it here. And we have thoughts, Pete. Manny, I'll let you go first since you got the fan on.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's not the fan. It's my actual tablet here.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
Yo, man, that shit ain't power efficient.
No, it sucks because the pan's going. Anyway, yes. So I played it. It's actually quite nice. Like, I saw some people making comparisons to it being like Bayonetta or anything like that. Not Bayonetta. It's totally Nier Automata. Like, mm-hmm. almost like copyright infringing. Like, close. Granted, the only difference is that you're not chopping up robots in this one. You're chopping up all like these sort of like organic, like organ looking monsters. But yeah, like a lot of the music is fairly similar. I'd say like the combat is a little bit more methodical than Nier. It's not like it's not like super fast paced like Nier is. It's a little bit slower. But again, like I enjoyed what I played so far. And then the other cool thing about it is that there's actually a save. It has a save in it. And I think it goes over to the main game.
Yeah, it does.
So, like, you could play off over that original part of the game and then, you know, continue off from where you left off. The graphics on it are very nice. Like, they did a really good job of it. I think, what is it, Unreal 5, right?
I'm not sure. It looks like it, though. But I
could, yeah, feels like an Unreal 5. But, is it worth playing? I mean, definitely is. You know, if you're not sure about how you feel about the game, definitely download the demo. No, you don't need to pay for anything there. So I quite liked it. I mean, I kind of want to get back to playing a little bit, but I have a little bit of work to try to squeeze out. You know,
it says Unreal 4.
Unreal 4. Very. I just saw that now 4. Too. All yeah, right. Very interesting.
Right. I mean, but Unreal 4 still looks good.
Yeah, it does. but yeah, no, the game, you know, I'll jump in right now. And I say this in the very best way possible. And I'm legitimately saying this as a compliment. It reminds me of PS2 games like this, you know, like, just to be honest, hot girl kicking ass with swords, really fun stuff. I enjoyed it a lot. But at the same time, it's a modern game, not just because of the graphics, but because I'm like, okay, this combat is very Souls inspired, if you know what I mean. Like, there's literally a place where you rest up and all the enemies spawn back. It's like, okay, I see what we're doing here. And that's why, as Manny said, the battles are more methodical, because since it is a little bit more Souls-like, it's not exactly like it. Like, one-to-one, it's not as difficult, I would say, but it is borrowing that ethos where it's more about, like, think about combat, think about what you're doing. It's not just about smashing the fucking attack button and winning. Enjoyed it. Yeah, the graphics are dope. I will say my only complaint is I like the other homegirl better than Eve, Tachi.
I'm
like,
yeah, the one in the black suit.
Yeah, I'm like, she looks fucking dope. You know,
I mean, you know what I mean. You know what they're doing though. It's like it's like they give you the really cool, awesome, like, you know, side character to sort of essentially be like what you could aspire to be.
Yeah, that's I want that outfit. You know.
I mean, to be honest, they're probably going to give you that outfit. With the amount of, like, they give you a bunch of different outfits. Like, well, they don't give you, but, like, there's a bunch of different outfits that are going to be in there. So I'm sure the fact, like, you probably can, the way they treat the outfits is like armor. So I'm sure you'll eventually get something cool.
Yeah,
the
outfit, the hair, and, you know, the face. Because, like, the girl just, I like that model. Looks, the character model looks, in my opinion, better than Eve. You know,
I mean, Eve feels like definitely Eve feels a little.
She looks
bit
good.
More
don't get me wrong. She looks. Yeah, you're right. The innocent part.
She feels a little bit. She feels a little bit innocent compared to that that character. But I think eventually you become sort of like you get to become the cool, right?
Yeah.
One thing I did notice on the options menu. So if you don't like that ponytail that she's got, that crazy long ponytail that she has. You could literally turn it off. It just has just a short one, which is kind of fun.
That's crazy.
Maybe it'll improve the frame rate.
Excuse me?
Really the Tress FX.
The Tress FX, oh, God. I'm fixing my shit here. Carlos, what did you get to play? What did you think?
Yeah, I played a little bit of it. I do agree. I mean, graphics-wise, I mean, aesthetic-wise, it kind of looks like a Devil May Cry game. In a way, not like the new one. The new one's a lot more stylized. But it plays like Nier with a little bit more, you know, like Tony mentioned, sort of conscious combat. Like they're making an emphasis on parrying and stuff like that, but the parrying isn't that difficult.
No,
at least
no.
from the demo.
Even for my ass, it's not that difficult. You know.
No, it gives you.
It's not like Rise of the Ronin. It's like fuck. You know, I couldn't even get that shit
forgiving.
Right.
Forgiving.
Yeah, and she has like in the skill tree, you could actually make it even easier. You know, give yourself like a longer window and shit. Go ahead, Carl. Oh, by the way, real quick. This is how much this shit reminded me of Nier. The very intro has a bunch of spaceship battles, right? It's all like CG and whatever, or you know, it's all cinemas. But I'm like, am I going to control this shit? I'm going to start flying around it as a ship? Because remember, that's how Nier Automata started.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, you guys are just being blatant about it here, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I'm still not 100% sold on it as just like a full-fledged title. We'll see. I'll see what the response is from, you know, people who play it when the game comes out. I don't recall seeing any shooting or anything, at least from what I played. Did you guys get through that?
Apparently, like when you beat the demo, because I haven't beaten it yet, you see like scenes of what's coming up in the game, and apparently she does get like a machine gun or something big like that. So
okay,
I could, because
That's something that's pretty, you know, big in with Nier, because Nier shooting is just almost as important as the slashing.
Yeah, the little pod that shoots.
Mm-hmm. And she has a little pod too. That follows her around.
Yep. I'm telling you, this shit is blatant.
And it talks to her all the time. She, you know, it comments on things, you know, because it has this time. Granted, it's more like, you know, like 9S, you know, kind of like in the pod. Yeah. Like you just sort of, hey, this is something here. Oh, we need to do this, like usual stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's actually a little bit of traversal. What do you, I can't think of the genre.
Platforming.
There's a little bit of platforming too, which was kind of surprising. So yeah, I mean, there's some cool stuff about it. I hope it's good. It's one of those games. But when I, you know, just from this demo, I feel like I'm like, this is like one of these games that I would love to like, to play at $50. We'll see. It might be better than the demo even gives it credit for. So we'll see when it comes out how the reception is.
Yeah. Rich, did you get to play the Stellar Blade demo?
Yeah. So I actually completed the demo about 10 minutes before we actually started recording.
Nice. That's a professional right there. You know?
Yeah.
So I guess you're pre-ordered too.
We'll see. I will say this. I do enjoy the game. A lot of the things you guys already mentioned, I think it looks good. I really like the soundtrack, the music in the game. I like that music. Once you do get to that end of that demo where you fight there is a boss battle. Yeah. After that, it, like you said, Tony, it does show different shots of stuff in the game, and she does have a gun. But it also unlocks this boss challenge mode, which allows you to try out and see some other moves that you can do on the bosses also. I didn't get to try that for too long, but what I played so far, I definitely will get this game. I mean, because what I played so far was enough to convince me, okay, I would like to see more of what they have to offer. But I thought the demo was pretty good.
Nice, nice. Brian, did you get a chance to check it out?
Nope.
All right. Brett, did you get to check it out?
Dude, I've been playing Dragon's Dogma.
Fair enough. Oh, good. I have two people I could ask about that then. All right. So that's what we think of Stellar Blade. I'm going to jump kind of ahead to the next question, then we'll come back to another Mobius one. Villa Kyle asks, what do you guys think about Dragon's Dogma 2?
Oh.
So let's jump right into that. Brian, I'm going to you first as our resident Dragon's Dogma expert. What do you think of it so far?
It's a very dangerous game to play. I spent 5 hours playing it and I didn't even notice the time, and I felt like I did nothing. It's an amazing way to suck in time. It's, oh my gosh, it's, you just get some of the most random things that happen in like the game. I had this one mission where I just had to go to three random locations and kill three different mobs of enemies. Sounds simple enough, right? But no, in that time frame, what was I doing? I managed to kill three ogres, two cyclops, I got attacked by two different griffins, A bunch of goblins, bunch of hobgoblins, bunch of saurians. I died like 7 times to the ogres. And the whole thing took like 2 hours for like one mission just because of all the random crap that happens midway and all the random dungeons you come across and the stuff that happens in those dungeons. And it's just, oh my gosh. It's the exact same feeling I had with the first game. It seemed like this is, well, it's ironically just more of the first game. And that's really good.
Nice.
I'm finding it hard to stop playing, but I kind of have to just to pace myself because I can feel myself just getting sucked in and easily just spending like hours and hours and hours just playing. And some of the stuff you come across, I'm sure that Brett has his own stories, but some of the stuff that I've come across has just been beyond things that I even expected to even happen sometimes. And then I went online and saw at other people's clips, and they've had some stuff where things just happen. You know, I mean, for once, I was fighting this ogre in the middle of nighttime, and ogres have this ability. Well, I say ability. Ogres tend to do a lot of drop kicks because why the hell not? And so I was fighting this one for so long, and then it drop kicks itself into like the river and then dies. It's so random. I spent 2 hours trying to fight a drake. Oh my gosh, drake fights have just been, I don't know if they've been improved or underleveled, but they are something else. It took, I think, 11 tries in total to take down this drake, and I just kept coming back and coming back and coming back because my save point was literally at the footstep of the drake. So I'm like, I'm not going to go until it dies, regardless. So I kept fighting it, started learning the patterns, learning the movesets. My pawns were dying left, right, and center. And in the final seconds, everyone else was dead. I was the last one alive. I had no healing left, had no nothing left. And I was like, I have to just push now. Because if I don't, then I start the whole thing again, and I don't want to. I'm so close.
Did Evitol help?
No, he actually died first. Which is
Let's go!
He did his job. Like, oh, Brett, I have stories with him. Don't worry. It was like the final couple of seconds, everyone else was dead, and I was like, I'm just going to just wail on this guy's tail, and he was casting... Okay, I don't know if Brett has gone... Brett, have you fought the drake yet?
Maybe? No?
It's a dragon.
I don't think so. Not anything other than like the flashback.
Okay, so I'm not going to tell you what move he uses, but he was using a move that was devastating, and I seen that coming out, and I was like, I have to just go for it. So I started chopping his ankles and did my spin move, like my sonic move, and it finally went down. And oh, I felt so tired afterwards because it was just. Hours of trying to cut down this thing, and it finally goes down, and it's well worth it. So yeah, Evitol, I changed him, so now he's a warrior instead of a ranger, because I felt we needed a tank, because we had no tanks. So I thought, okay, Evitol becomes a tank, hence why he died first, because again, being a tank, that's your duty, and my mages were just useless. I don't know why. I need to sack them. Yeah, Efferol is amazing. He does the funniest things. So because he has a greatsword, there's like two main moves that he does that I love. The first one is just a wide batting swing where he just swings it from, I think, the left side to, no, from the right side to the left side, and just swings it round to front of him. Now, as a thief, I have this ability where I'm basically Scorpion, so I can just shoot out a rope with a hook on the end and then just pull whatever it catches towards me. So usually I do that for goblins because I just get sick and tired of how they run away. So I did that at the exact second Efferol was doing like his wide swing, and it connected, and it was such a great moment because the goblin is sent hurtling towards me. Efferol is standing in front of me. He swings, and the goblin just flies away. And I was like, this is exactly why I love this guy. Like, this is exactly what we need. Another really cool move that he has is, basically, it's a shoryuken, but with a greatsword. I don't know how that works, but it just works. So there's been times when there's been wolves or harpies or goblins, and then he does that move. He sends them flying in the air at the exact same time that I do my scorpion move. So Everol sends him in the air, and I pull him back down, and I assassinate him. It's just such a winning combo. And finally, just to wrap it up, I taught Everol possibly the most powerful move in the game. And I don't know if you're ready for this tactic, Brett, but be very careful, because once you learn it, it's very hard to go back. The tactic is, you stun your enemy so that you can pick them up, and then you grab them, and you throw them over a cliff.
That sounds like so much fun.
And your pawn can actually learn that move, so they'll start doing it. So now that's what Everol does. So it's just the funniest thing. So then it'll be me and him just like studying like a goblin and then just throwing them both off the edge at the same time. It's like,
so yes. here's one that you can do. So instead of, you know, like let's say what you can't get down off of a mountain, right? And I saw somebody do this. So what they did was they took their pawn and threw him off the mountain, right? And then what they did was they shot a healing arrow, which instantly healed him, right? While it was on the ground. Then he jumped off, and then the pawn caught him.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I've seen some crazy things like that. Some of the funniest ones is when they fight the griffin, and the griffin just takes off because griffins just don't want any of that. And then midway through, they fall, and then the pawn just catches them in, as they fall down to the ground. And it's like, yes, this is what we need in games. Things that make sense, you know. Yeah, that's been so much fun. Still have not killed a griffin yet. The only two that I've fought, they both flew away, and one flew away with me on it, and I decided to jump off for some odd reason, and gravity took care of the rest. Hmm. But yeah, griffin's still on the kill list. But yeah, cyclops and ogres and whatnot, yeah, they're fine.
Drake, the fucking minotaurs are the ones that are pissing me off.
Oh, Brett, I had like a jump scare moment. So it was in the dark, and then I just hear like this weird thudding sound of like something just like creeping up behind me, and then it just gets louder and gets faster. I'm like, what is that noise? Like, is it like a drum beat or something? And then
Brett hears a train in the distance.
It basically hit me like a train, you know. It just wipes all out like we were 10-pin bulls. No, sorry, like pins, you know, just knocked us all out at the same time. It's like, okay, this guy just wants to die now because it's middle of the night and he has to die. Yeah, minotaurs, they're definitely not as easy as I thought they would be, but it's a great fight.
Right. Yeah. Brett, what do you think, man?
It is a really interesting game. It is I can see where a lot of the love comes from. As somebody who like didn't really get grabbed all that hard by Dragon's Dogma 1, like I played it, but this was like fairly shortly after I had just fallen in love with Dark Souls. So it was a tough comparison. They came out a little bit close together. So like now, kind of coming back, and a lot of the rough edges have been sanded down. And it's absolutely fantastic. But I, at the same time, like I joke around, it's this game. Like, have you ever seen the weird pictures of Renaissance cats from the Renaissance? Clearly, cats painted by people who had either only briefly or never seen cats before.
No, I haven't seen that. I think I have to look this up now.
Look up Renaissance cats if you haven't, and do yourself a favor. But like, this feels like a video game that was like maybe somebody who was like in cryostasis for 20 years has just been unfrozen, and someone kind of caught them up to date on how video games are made now. And then they made it because there's some great quality of life improvements from some old things, but also just weird. Like, they don't want to make fast travel too easy. They don't want to make things too convenient. They don't want to make the roads too safe, because they want it to feel like in an anime when they're like, the roads aren't safe, especially at night. So like, we're even going to the next town is an issue. And like, so many video games trivialize that it's just kind of become part of the language of video games. So like, Dragon's Dogma is really interesting in the sense that, like, as Brian says, this is what we need in video games. There's so many things in here that are kind of rethought from the ground up. Like, there are no quest markers on people's heads. Do you need them? Not really? People are, like, there are pretty clearly people who want to talk to you if you trust your audience to be able to kind of trying to immerse themselves in any way. I've also joked, Tony, this game is the antithesis of video games for you. Like, it's, there are quests that are hidden behind things that are just arbitrary things. Like, sometimes you have to buy a potion or talk to somebody or, you know, get one of your pawns killed or like any other random thing to trigger a quest that makes it feel like you're immersed in the world, but it's really tough for completion. So it's an entire different gaming philosophy when they were designing things for this game. And honestly, and I'm here for it. Like, even the main story is kind of like, it's more of a series of guideposts. Like, it is, you know, I've heard people kind of complain that the story isn't as good as it could be. You know, it's not The Witcher, but it's also not supposed to be, because it is actually an RPG that is using system mechanics to help tell emergent stories. And I heard Brian kind of touch on it earlier with, like, you know, his experience is going to be different and my experience is going to be different than somebody else's experience because of those systems kind of building that emergent story. So your story is your story, and it's not from cinematic video game beats. It's from, this is how the dice rolled, and this is how the situation that was unique to you played out and kind of was an adventure. And I kind of feel like I need that. Like, we've all talked about, like, how I think both Brian and I are the kind of people, like, we've kind of drifted away from predictable by the numbers, big budget cinematic things. You know, it's fine. It's nothing against them. But, like, to me, and y'all are going to hate me for saying this, to me, Spider-Man games are kind of the same as, like, Too Fast, Too Furious movies, right? Like, it's not bad. It's just, I know everything that's going to happen from the moment that I step in. And yeah, there's a lot of pretty explosions and cars and actors that I might know, but, like, it's just kind of, that's all it is, you know? It's the same reason I don't go nuts over Michael Bay movies, and I kind of feel like I've had enough Michael Bay video games. So it is a breath of fresh air. But I think a lot of people are overhyping or over bitching about a lot of stuff, and they're like, there is no fast travel in this game. There is. There's travel from, like, town to town in a cart, and sometimes that cart will get ambushed in the middle of the night by a fucking Cyclops who decides to do a suplex. So it's like a suplex Cyclops, drop it on your cart in the middle of night, murdering all of the other fucking guards and peons, taking your warrior down to half health and completely destroying the cart before you can even kite it away from the damn thing. So sometimes you get attacked, you're like, whew, that was a big fight. Let's climb back in the cart and finish this journey. Sometimes you're like, wow, that ogre killed everybody, destroyed the cart, ran the driver off into the darkness somewhere, and now I'm in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night, and yeah, this is now its own adventure. So it's unpredictable, it is unfamiliar, it is almost uncategorizable. I know there's a better word than that, but I'm not taking time to fix it.
I like that word. We're going with that.
And I love all of it. Like, this game is the antithesis of Ubisoft. If you're mad about what Ubisoft currently is, you might like this game. If you're like, I love Assassin's Creed, then this may not be the game for you. It is definitely a game that is, it knows what it is and who it's for, and it's not afraid of accommodating those people. And if for that reason alone, I think it's pretty cool. I have found the whole microtransaction thing to be honestly a big nothing burger. I have not been compelled to use the microtransaction thing at all. I have not felt underpowered. I have just been steamrolling through this motherfucker. I died twice, and that was both in the same night that I got ambushed by a fucking minotaur in the middle of the night and kept charging out of the darkness and fucking killing half my party. Oh, I died, used a wake stone to get back up. He killed me again, used a wake stone to get back up, and I beat him, but at what cost? At what cost? Because those were my only two wake stones for a hot minute. So, I guess all in all, man, like, it's I didn't have any of the problems with the DLC, like a lot of people were complaining. I know that's a big thing on a lot of people's lists. Like, it didn't feel obtrusive. It wasn't throwing that shit in my face.
DLC, Brett?
Yeah, the microtransactions.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Because they're two different things.
Sorry. I feel like microtransactions are technically a form of DLC.
Yeah,
but
it's like microtransactions are DLCs, but DLCs are not microtransactions. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, so sorry about that.
I'll try and use the right word. So the microtransactions I keep forgetting they're in the game because they don't put it in front of your face. They don't advertise it. I don't really notice it in my menu. I am leveling up like fucking crazy. Like, I feel like they just keep throwing me levels and keep throwing me vocation ranks. And honestly, like, the way everybody talks, I was expecting this game to be way more hardcore. So it's not even as grindy. Like, maybe it's grindy for like 15-year-old Fortnite players, but I grew up in the old days of RPGs where, like, you got to grind for 20 hours before you're allowed to move on to the next section of the map. So it's not bad. It's not bad at all. And I can't wait, Brian. But the thing I'm looking forward to is opening up the warfare so I can combine Arcane Trickster and its ability to make guys attack their own allies with the sorcerer spells that just light everything on fire. And I'm going to have a character that just creates pure chaos. Every time I enter the battlefield, everything's on fire and everybody's attacking each other.
Yes. I'm just kind of stuck in this place where I'm dreading the fight with the red dragon at the end because I seen him in that flashback and I was like, he is much bigger and much more detailed than last time, and it terrifies me. You know, like, this guy is almost like a God of War 3 type boss level. Well, boss where the level is the boss, you know. It's just, it's massive scale. Literally massive scale.
So, yeah. Like an old school Metroid boss. Motherfucker takes up 5 screens.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, man. Moving on here. Back to Mob Hits. Jim Ryan
real quick.
What's up?
I want to ask Brian. Brian, have you gotten any of the Dragon's Plague yet?
I have not. I have been told what to check for when it does happen, and I know that of the consequences. And dear Lord, that's amazing. It would have been great if this game had no internet, so that you didn't know these things, and then it just happens to you. Because the consequences are just they are perfectly brutal, and I love it.
It's great.
All right. Mob Hits. All right. Jim Ryan recently said the PS5 is on track to be Sony's most successful console ever. That being the case, how would you rate the PS5 success given how so many of its games are available on PS4 and there are barely any PS5 exclusives? Please help me understand the system success given these factors. I feel there's like two different questions here. Obviously,
I don't.
But I want to bring them down. It's like, let's just be honest here. The PS5 is very successful because it has the PlayStation name attached to it. You know, that thing's built up just an audience, you know, over decades, and it's living off that goodwill. Because, yeah, like, you guys have heard me complain about the PS5 for the entire generation. The PlayStation community on Twitter hates me now because of all my complaints about PS5. But that's just a fact. It is riding the coattails of its legacy, right?
Yeah, previous glories.
Yeah, it's purely riding off of that because there are very few games. Not only are there few games that are PS5 exclusives, but even those PS5 exclusives are not revolutionary or anything. Yes, I like Spider-Man 2, but Spider-Man 2, let's just be honest, is more of the same of Spider-Man 1. You know, Returnal was cool. Two dudes played that game. Ratchet and Clank was cool. Nobody cared. You know, it's not, there's not a lot of meat there. Yes, we finally got, you know, Final Fantasy VII, but that's not even first party. You know, Stellar Blade, great game, not first party. So yeah.
It's not first party, but it isn't third party either.
Yeah, it's like in that weird, like,
it's the same.
The ground that Insomniac used to be in, kind of.
It's it's in that same thing. So in other words, theoretically, like, you know, it's kind of on one end, it's like, yes, it's something new that's being published by Sony. But at the same time, it's not anything new from them. They just saw it out there and they bought it.
Yeah, so with their studios, you know.
Yeah, kind of like the same situation with like a Kojima thing where it's not really, it's kind of that space,
yeah.
You know.
So yeah, in that sense, yes, PlayStation 5 is successful because it has sold the most. So that's how you know, at least I measure it. Yes, it sold a lot. Why is it successful? Because of the name brand. It's not because of the games. Yes, it does have more exclusives than Xbox. I'll give you that. But a lot of those exclusives are already on PS4. You know,
and not to mention, it's like he's talking about the consoles doing well. But it's like the console doing well. Yes, that's great. But at the same time, that's not where these companies make their money. It's off the software.
Yeah.
And where is the software? Because if you think in general, consoles are always being sold by, you know, sold at a, you know, sold at a loss. So, okay, yeah, it's going to be the most successful one of their consoles, but how much is the financial loss from making every single PlayStation console? Has the PlayStation 5 become profitable at this point in time? Doesn't seem like they're willing to give any of that.
Didn't we get that? Out. Didn't it become a profitable like a year after the fact?
I thought it was technically profitable pretty close to
yeah, the I game. I believe so. Yeah, like it but was
again, this,
like,
this one specific. They changed it. Like usually in previous generations, they were willing to go at a loss. This generation, they seem to be going at less of a loss. And
yeah,
I think Brett's right. Lance is real short.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
A virtual monopoly, man. They have no real competitors.
Well, yeah, there's nobody that's completely that's trying to compete in the space that they are. And the one competitor that is essentially within that space kind of wants to pull out. And then the other one, Nintendo, was just like, They're in officially in their blue ocean, right? Like in other words, they consider themselves the console, you know, like the you know, they're the family console. Well, they're not trying to compete on the level of a PlayStation or the Xbox right now.
Hey Brett, correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't you and I argue kind of about this? Because I said that Xbox has not provided actual competition to PlayStation. I thought you said they did. Or am I wrong about that?
I believe you're wrong. Like I'm of the mindset that like if Xbox got its shit together, they could pose some competition, not equal footing. Like we're never gonna get to like, it's you know, they're neck and neck kind of thing, like but if they played their cards right in a perfect world, they could at least get to the point where they could mildly challenge Sony enough that Sony would have to take itself seriously and kind of get its shit together.
Yeah. But I think you and I agree on that part. That yeah, could, should, whatever. Now, currently, not even close.
No. And I don't think, and I've never thought that they were. Like, I'm just hoping that they can step up to eventually become that.
But my point is, I agree with you about the monopoly thing. Yes, I understand Nintendo exists and they're super successful themselves, but they're off on, you know, the kitty table.
to anybody being like, well, Nintendo exists, they're a competitor. Nintendo themselves doesn't believe that to be so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you're a fan of Nintendo, maybe don't think you know better than them, I guess. I don't know. Like, it just feels like a weird place to be like, I support them, but they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah. Here's something, and I'm reading this quote right now. This is what Jim Ryan says, and I want to take this apart. Because the first thing when I read the headline was like, wait, you're on track to be more successful than the PS2, the best-selling console of all time.
Dude, the market's bigger now.
Yeah, but I'm reading this comment. I'm like, there's why he's saying this. Because, again, I'm looking at this as pure numbers, but he's not. So check this out. He goes, PS5 is well on track to be our most successful console ever across multiple vectors. So that I think that's how he's judging it. Because I'm like, I don't think you're going to get to 158 million units sold with the PS5. But if
how many do they have so far?
Something like that. Isn't it something to say like, PS5, how many has it sold? And also somebody check PS2. I think it's 158 million for PS2, which is insane, you know? I don't even Nintendo Switch hasn't even hit that yet, you know?
160, I'm looking.
So I wasn't off. I wasn't too far off. So when I read that, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You're not reaching 150, 160 million. So he's counting other factors as well for success, which I kind of call BS on. Again, I call that BS out on Xbox doing it. I'll do the same with Sony doing it. Give me the sales numbers.
Services.
You know?
50 million.
No, Jim Ryan, you're not going to sell over 100 million plus PS5s in the next like 3 years, especially when these motherfuckers are talking about, we're on the latter half of the life cycle. So you're just going to suddenly just sales are just going to spike when you have a whole, you admitted you have a whole year where you're not going to come out with any new first party IPs.
But Switch sales have exceeded 132 million.
It's getting there. It's getting there, you know. So if they sell 20 more million plus, they could do it, you know.
Oh, and watch out. Xbox has sold over 25 million.
And we don't even know if that number is accurate.
Here's the thing. A 30% market share is not the worst thing in the world. It's better than I'm pretty sure they've been doing. It's enough for a very mild attaboy. Like, there you go. Like, I guess keep it up or something, maybe. Or no, don't keep it up. Just do better. But also, it could have been worse. There's tagline. Xbox, it could have been worse.
Oh, man. Like that Simpsons meme with Bart with the cake. At least you tried and he threw that into fucking garbage.
Yeah. You know, at least they did, right? Like with the Kinect, they were not trying. They were just trying to tell you what to do. And everyone was like, I'll tell you what to do. You can go fuck yourself. That's what you can go do. Which I feel like is the proper response to put the spy camera in your home. Like that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's
oh shit, Jolly. Jolly.
I feel like they've been trying.
Go ahead.
I feel like they've been trying this generation, so you know. Good for you.
Jolly Yellow Nerd says, Xbox. At least Microsoft hasn't shut them down yet. Fuck. Oh, man. Shit is crazy right now.
Xbox, we're still a company.
Yeah, we're still here. But yeah, does anybody else have any thing they wanted to add to why the PS5 has been so successful?
No, it's just past glories, man. That's all it really is. It's living off the past of what the previous generations did. The work that the rise up that they did from the ashes on the PlayStation 3, the continuation and further momentum from the fourth generation, and then the slow decline.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris who's joining.
So now, you know, like apparently now it's just good enough to have something that just says PlayStation on it for people to go out and buy it.
Yeah.
Which is to be honest, it's like that shouldn't be a thing. If they're not serving up thing, why are people buying consoles? Like, oh well, okay, you're gonna get a marginal upgrade to some of your games. You know. I don't know. But you know, Stellar Blade looks good. So at least there's that, right?
Yeah, there you go. Chris, so we were just talking about like why do we think the PS5 has been so successful? And most of us kind of agree it's like because it's living off the past glories of, you know, the previous generation. This PS5 itself doesn't have a lot to offer, objectively.
Oh, it's true. This is probably the weakest generation I can remember. And it is because, like, I mean, the peak of the mountain is PS2, right? And PS3 was very successful, but it comes down from there. PS4 had a kind of a weak library, but there was still stuff. I was still giving up. There's some gems in there. And then you get to PS5 and it's like, prices are going up and you're telling me a whole year of this generation, I'm not expecting any new IPs or anything. And what's come so far has been, besides a few third party games, has been rather lackluster. So yeah, I would 100% agree with that it's coasting off reputation. And also Sony has been fairly consistent. I will say Xbox, Microsoft has a big problem with consistency. They can't even keep their name consistent. Keep something consistent with how you're providing your services, your interface, all this stuff. And they don't do that. Nintendo is hella consistent, right? You know exactly what they're going to do. But with that, so there's a benefit to that, right? So they have done fairly well. What they need to do, though, is they're going to run into the same problem Microsoft is running into. It's like you have to provide software. You only coast so long. You had a big wave, but that wave is going to ebb out, and then what do you have? So you better start producing some new content.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Rich, you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree to a lot of what the points that you guys already made. Obviously, Sony had a lot of success last gen, so a lot of that transition to this gen. But I do want to make one comment, and this is just my opinion. I don't think anybody should be listening to what this guy is saying. He's retired now. So when I hear him make statements like this is obviously a business play because they want to continue selling consoles. You're going to tell people, yeah, we're on track to be the most successful because you want those who don't have the console to go out and get one. So I don't listen to anything that any of these people say once they're retired. That's it. It's no longer their job to convince me otherwise. Anyone that has had these systems at launch already knows the lineup hasn't been strong for either console. So
he also doesn't want to look like he literally crashed the company into the ground, because also this year was a bunch of saying that they did a bunch of firings, or hey, they weren't making enough money to their projections. All of the things that he set in motion, all of those things were canceled. So what's his legacy? He sat around on his ass and he literally coasted off of the legacy of the previous generation. Exactly what we said when it first all started out.
Yep.
And all of you motherfuckers out there called us stupid for saying this shit.
Yeah, oh, give him a chance or whatever.
Chance. Oh, yeah. How do you know this is going to happen? You could see it. It was as plain as the nose on his face. You know?
Oh, man. Jimbo. All right.
Jimbo's an utter failure, and he's just trying to save his to put the information out there that he actually did something of worth. And watch, you know how he says he's retired? You're going to notice that he is going to be unretired at some point. He's going to find himself at another company failing upward. The only reason why he retired is because he doesn't want to be blamed a part of this dumpster fire that's literally happening on PlayStation right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, hey, oh, you're tired, blah, 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 blah. Again, guy literally was standing in the room with all the damn people that he was going to fucking fire, with them giving him a round of applause. He knew that was going to happen. He could have said, oh, hey, no, I don't want to do that. That wouldn't seem right. No, he literally got his flowers right in front of him. And then a week later, they were gone.
They were gone. Fuck him. Yeah, that entire studio gone. Crazy.
Fuck that dude.
Brian, what are your thoughts, man?
Pretty much what you guys have said, driving off the coattails of the previous system. And I think by virtue of the other systems just not being at the same level, it's become the de facto system of, oh, if you want to... Again, from the outside looking in, it's a case of, hey, do you want to play video games? Do you get a PS5? And that's pretty much the conversation. It's not a case of, okay, there's the option A, option B. It's just the de facto, everyone gets a PS5 and that's it. You know, like, you want to play Fortnite? Everyone plays on PS5. You want to play GTA? Everyone plays on PS5. And that's kind of how it is. Again, it's, I guess, become the zeitgeist console, if you wish.
Yeah, no, you're right. Any last thoughts on this?
Yeah. Let's just see some games. Let's stop talking about
fucking games.
Yeah. Let's see some games. Let's we don't need to be hearing about how much you sold as far as consoles. That's fine. You're making your money. Now let's just talk about some games. Why did we invest in this console?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, before I get to the next question, Chris, were you able to play the Stellar Blade demo?
Yes, I tried it out.
Let us hear your thoughts, sir.
Well, I say the visuals look good. I didn't know she was ODST, but I didn't know their armor got so skimpy. And my issue was there was a couple of things that were a little laggy. Like the sprint was laggy because you have to hold circle and then she does like a dash or a dodge and then she runs, which is like in Souls, when you just hit the run button, unless you double tap it, like, you run, right? So it was a little weird, like, I was trying to run from a creature during a fight, I was trying to run around him, and then she does this weird dash, and I'm like, well, why aren't you running? And the parrying, they slow it down, so that's good. I thought that the save was a little weird, because you need to collect a coin to, like, use the vending machine to sit down. I was like, why don't you just sit down? But whatever, I guess that's a mechanic in the game.
Just to jump in, I find that really stupid. It's like you have to use a coin to use the save thing, so there's a coin in front of it, so you pick up the coin, use it. I'm like, why don't that get rid of that mechanic in general? This is stupid.
That's
weird. Like it seems like it saved every single time I sat.
I'm saying that you need to use the coin in order to activate the thing, right? But I'm like, why? But if you're always gonna have a coin there, Why not just remove that aspect and just have your turn on the machine and just get on with it?
Yeah.
You know?
The camp should just activate when you're
exactly.
There.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, they seem to be obsessed with those with some old mechanicry. Cause like, I'm not sure if you guys noticed this, but in the beginning of the level, there's a phone booth there. And I think that's the fast travel phone booth. And I think that what you do is you waste a coin to kind of fast travel back.
Because I know you can fast travel.
Speaking of the automata.
Exactly. Because you can fast travel between camps eventually. But I just find out weird. I'm like, okay, if you're always going to have a coin there, but you need that coin to, you know, to set up camp, remove the goddamn coin. This is stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I thought. I just saw things. I was like, what? The coin was right here. I put it in the machine to sit down. Like, just get rid of that. Just have the cap activate when you sit there. Like every other, like every Japanese game, whatever, you go into a save room, it just works, right?
Yeah.
Don't need ink ribbons anymore. That it's silly, like an ink ribbon. You don't even Resident Evil got rid of that. You don't need that anymore. So just get rid of that. The combat I thought was a little slow, but maybe they'll adjust it. But other than that, I enjoyed it. I can't knock like the weird story with whatever the creatures you're fighting, the aliens, I guess Earth is ruined or something. I don't know what's exactly going on because the demo doesn't tell you too much. But the creature designs were nice. I don't know. I looked at it and I was like, yeah, this is a response to modern day Western gaming. It's really what it is. Like, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, does this fucking like death looking thing have titties? All right. Yeah, this is definitely a response to the world we're living in now. But, you know, other than that, I had no complaints. I look forward to trying the full thing. I already pre-ordered it. I was like, yeah, I'll support this. Fuck that. So, I look forward to that. But the demo was, enough to like tease me. Make a complaint though to Sony, the PS store. Why is it was so hard to get to the demo download link?
Yeah,
like I pre-ordered the game. It didn't even offer me a place to get to like, hey, try the demo.
You had to click on the three little thingies or whatever.
Yes, like, the ellipsis button. Yeah. Why? It's like every other game has a demo says download demo, a button, a whole button. This didn't have it. You had to go to the ellipsis to get it. I'm like, what? Okay, whatever. That's my only complaint. It has nothing to do with the game. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I look forward to trying the full thing.
Yeah. You know, since you brought it up, and I know you've been keeping up with the controversy, I got to address it real quick, right? So IGN France wrote, like, I think their impressions of the demo or something, and the guy said that, the girl, you know, the main girl's just a sex doll or whatever, not a real person. And she goes, oh, it's obvious that the game director has never seen an actual woman and loved the internet with the receipts, right? First, again, they showed
His wife.
Yeah. First, they showed again. Hey, this girl, Eve, is based off an actual real woman, her body, and then the director. Yeah. Not only does he have a wife who's very attractive herself, she's also an artist for the game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She's on the development team, so it's like IGN France looked very stupid this weekend, and I'm glad people were clowning him for that nonsense. You know. Like, oh, it's obvious. And then you saw a picture of the dude. I'm like, I think maybe you're the one that hasn't seen a woman before. just saying, bro. You know?
It's an interesting thing because it's like there are all kinds of people in the world. And I mean, here's the thing. Like, I would say, like, being the game is also a Korean game. A lot of if you look at a lot of the Korean pop stars and stuff, like, they're very attractive looking people.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they? Why, if their culture is, you know, sort of tilts toward that sort of everybody looks very sexy and everybody looks very like that, then why is it why come down on them for something like that? I don't get that.
Yeah, well, because they're, you know, they're not only Western bullshit,
they're not only making, you know, obviously in general, I think they're not only making, you know, like obviously the game is going to be accepted across the world, but they're also making it for their own, you know, country, which is all acceptable, right?
I want to say this though, Manny, and I don't know if you caught that too. Like, it was very evident to me from the jump. I'm like, oh, this is a very Korean game, and I like that. That's cool.
How about nobody, you know, brings up the fact that the lady kind of looks Asian. All the main characters look Asian in that game.
That, yeah, like
Like they're not even like manga. Like they're not even like manga. I mean, granted, they're a little bit stylized. They're a little bit bigger.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like they feel like Asian characters. So it's like nobody brings up that, but the fact that they have like obviously looking Asian sort of characters in their game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just feel like
I like that part. And again, because, you know, you've played so many Japanese games. You see it's like, oh, this is different. This is Asian, but this is different. That's cool. You know,
yeah, I like
that. But no,
like,
no, like, it's horrible. Sexist, misogynist, all the isses in there. It's like, okay.
They also the art style of it looks very much like the, you know, there's a lot of Korean sort of games that are like the styling where they have those sort of overly complicated sort of like circuitry outfits. And, you know, I forgot the name of the artist. I have a book of that person's work. And it's just like a lot of work that's like that. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool to see this. Again, and how many Korean games are we getting?
That's what I'm saying.
Like in across the world, like to be honest, it's always been Japanese. You know, obviously we're seeing more Chinese games with the sort of servicey sort of games. But
give me that Wukong, man. Let's
go. You know, see Wukong and all that stuff. I'm like, I mean, I feel like it. It definitely feels like we're seeing. You know, that's one cool thing I'm seeing about these recent generations that we're starting to see voices from. You know, video game voices from places that you wouldn't usually that aren't considered the zeitgeist of these sorts of games. It's always been Japan and the United States. You know,
now it's like Korea, China, Poland.
Yeah, you have CD Projekt Red. Obviously, they're doing all their thing out there, and
Finland.
You know, it's really cool. Finland, you know, stuff like that. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad that it's something new. It's not a fucking sequel of something, you know. So,
yeah. So yeah, Celeblade's dope. GZR asked me. He goes at Tony specifically. If Stellar Blade admires women's bodies and it is seen as a good thing, did you disagree with what Fat Princess did? Made fun of women's bodies. I don't think it made fun of women's bodies. I think it made fun of fat people.
Yeah, made fun of
you didn't
people.
Have to be a woman for that.
Also, fat princess. You make her fat.
You make her fat. Yeah.
You don't like. In other words, she doesn't.
You couldn't
start
make a
fat.
Game like that. Now I'll tell you that with all this positivity
her,
bullshit.
Make her fat.
Yeah.
But let's step away from the politics stuff. But yeah, Celeblade. Go show support. People buy the game. You know. All right. Just moving on here. Jay Shep in the house. This one's interesting. So, because you guys, I don't know if you guys covered this. Did you cover that all white, what is it? The white digital only Xbox Series X? Did you guys cover that on the last show?
Oh, no, we didn't see that one.
Anyway, so that's a thing that I just learned about that's coming out. Anyway, he goes, which console will sell more, the white digital only Xbox Series X or the PS5 Pro? Probably the PS5 Pro for the same reason we mentioned before, name recognition. You know? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just the name recognition. Even if you can't, even if there's nothing that takes advantage of the PS5 Pro, that's going to sell more than, you know, this Xbox thing. And we have a question related to this, by the way, later on, from Cuban Boss. You know what? Let's jump right into it. But before that, Cuban Boss says, I wanted to wish each and every member of the cast a happy Easter and hope y'all had a good weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. Likewise.
I don't celebrate, but thank you, you know, which was kind of an interesting thing. Yeah. Thank you. By the way, it's an interesting thing during the weekend. I was with my family and stuff. They're all fucking Catholics. And like on Friday, they weren't allowed to eat meat, you know, and they were like, Tony, what are you eating chicken? What are you doing? I'm like, remember, I don't believe this stuff. You know, and then even at, you know, the usual, actually, but, you know, cause I'm slick about this shit. Like my mom, she'll just like, fuck that religion is stupid. Blah, blah, blah. You know, so one of my aunts goes to me, Tony, you know, okay, if you didn't think, you know, Jesus was the son of God, what'd you think? And I was like, hold on. Do you want me to answer this honestly? Because I do not want to offend anybody. And they were like, no, it's cool. But I asked beforehand, you know, cause I'm not going to just jump in and be like, you guys are all crazy, you know? But I didn't do that either. Anyway, let's get into it. Where we are. I hit something on my keyboard. Did I mute myself? No, I'm good. Cuban Boss. In Rise of – this one's fun. We should have Riku on for this one. In Rise of Ronin, I'm currently trying to collect 100 cats, and I've collected 65 so far. Do I have to collect 100 trophies for a 100 cats for a bronze trophy? These games need to tone this shit down. I'm forcing myself to get the platinum because I paid $70. I never want to do this trophy again. So my question is, what is the most you'll tolerate for a platinum in a game? Just real quick, I looked it up. You get a silver trophy for collecting 100 cats in that game. I can't believe we're still doing those type of fucking trophies in 2024. Yeah. You know, we're with the pigeons and shit, you know?
Yes. And remember the fucking foxes in Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, but that was at least okay, you know?
Man, now fuck those foxes, man. I'm tired. That's all I had to do to get the platinum. And I kept going, now I'm going to this side of the island because there's more foxes here. And I'm going to this side of the island. So I was, one more of those damn foxes and I was going to be done with it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I understand that complaint, Carlos, but we can at least come to one agreement. Ghost of Tsushima, way better game than Rise of Ronin. But with the comment I was going to make is to answer the question is, if it's a game that you really like and you want to explore every avenue of the game, then I think you will definitely be compelled to get the platinum. That's how I felt about Ghost of Tsushima. And yes, it did take some time, but it was well worth the time. I did feel satisfied afterwards. So I think it just depends on the game, whether or not you are, you want to try to, you enjoy it that much when you want to get everything it is to get the everything that you can get out of the game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously you guys know my history with the trophies. I used to be a platinum hunter hardcore. But it was almost 10 years ago too. Like I kind of got away from that. Because I was literally just like, no, I can't go on to the next game before I get the platinum. So I got away from that. And generally, that's how it is. I'm like Rich. I'm like, I get the platinum if I really enjoy the game. And the platinums aren't too fucking insane, you know? So with this, what I find interesting is he feels compelled to get the platinum because he paid money for his game. That's something I've never had. For me, it was more like, I have this game. I need to complete it. The money aspect was never a part of it, but I could see where he's coming from. But yeah, my answer is I don't have a tolerance. If it's bullshit, I stop. Simple as that. You know? Yeah.
I mean, like the way I always saw like something like that is if ultimate completion is getting all the things within the game. Sometimes that doesn't always mean getting the platinum. And a lot of times it doesn't mean doing the platinum. But I always feel like, for me, if I really enjoy a game and I got all the different things that I wanted to get in the game, I feel like that is a completion point for me. It doesn't need to be about the trophy.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in?
Trophy hunt.
Yeah, he don't trophy hunt. Chris, I know you get platinums, man. What's your take?
Oh, yeah. I get obsessed. Right now, Pacific Drive is pissing me off because I think one of them is glitched. I'm trying to – you have to, like, edge a storm and, like, scan an anomaly at the same time, and I can't get it to work, and I tried it, like, multiple times, so I have to watch a video or something, and I'm getting annoyed. But, no, I just – you know, you get into it. And that game is – honestly, I'll say, like, that's an acquired taste. That game is kind of boring. If you – it's like you're just driving around and you don't really fight anything or whatever. It's just exploring and all this stuff. I like it. But, yeah, if I go – I'm like – why wouldn't I get the trophies? It's not like I have to fight a hard boss or anything. It's just like the environment. So, yeah. No, I do enjoy that. And Resident Evil, I've gotten like all of them. Some of them are brutal. And I'm just like, nah, I'm getting this shit. I don't care.
Brian, what are your thoughts, man?
Honestly, just like Rich, where I used to think, oh, if you enjoy the game, then surely you can just go get the platinum. But then I don't know what game it was, but there was some game... There was some game that asked me to find like 100 or 200 small things, and I was like, I'm not enjoying the game anymore. Like, I've reached a point where the game doesn't feel like it's fun to play, and there's too many of these things to find and collect, and it just was not fun, and I didn't enjoy it. And ever since then, my rule has been, well, I have two main rules. The first one is, if a game has more than 100 things to collect, and that's in total, then I won't go for the platinum, because at that point it stops being fun and starts being just busy work, and that's honestly not that great. And the second one is difficulty based trophies, which I know can be contentious to some people, but sometimes the difficulty, it just doesn't make sense and it doesn't make it fun. Peak example is Uncharted. I platinumed the first two games, and honestly, I really didn't enjoy the brutal the settings. Whatever the hardest mode is, I did not enjoy it one bit the whole time, and it just felt like the difficulty was fighting the mechanics. And it, to me, that contradiction just didn't make sense, you know, because when you play it on like normal, you could run, you can gun, you can do like punches and all sorts. Yet you play it on brutal, you can't run and gun. It's pretty much you stand behind cover and you wait. And that's not the same. And yeah, so since then, if the game has difficulty based or collecting 100 things, then just instant no, no matter how much I enjoy it. Which brings up the question of Dragon's Dogma 2, because I really want to platinum it, but I fear, again, I've not checked the list, but I fear that there's a trophy for collecting 220 Seeker's tokens.
Uh-oh.
And if that's the case, I might just have to let it slide and say no. You know, because honestly, no. Like, I'd rather be playing Pacific Drive than collecting 220 tokens. Again, as much fun as I have with the game, it's just the thought of, okay, now you go to this place, you go to that place, go to this place, go to that place, just for these 1-2 tokens. It's like, I don't really want to do that. So that's my limitation.
Yeah, when it stops being fun. All right. Another one from Mr. Cuban Boss. There was talk about the PS5 Pro potentially being the premier way to play GTA 6. However, Digital Foundry recently said the game probably won't run at 60 FPS on either the base PS5 or PS5 Pro. If rumors are true and the next Xbox drops in 2026, which is probably when GTA will drop since we know it'll get delayed, wouldn't the next Xbox technically be the premier console to play GTA 6 on over PS5 Pro? Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? It would be.
Yep, sounds like
it. I mean, if the tips fall as, you know, you're proposing, yes, you know, so there it is, man. But yeah, I'll tell you this, man, I don't know how much you guys discussed it when I was off, but that Digital Foundry video/article really put a hamper on any enthusiasm I may have had. You know, it's new tech. I was excited. But then when I heard that shit, I'm like, okay, it seems like the fucking – oh, we did talk about it. I was here for that. I was like, seems like the CPU is going to be the bottleneck again, just like it was for the PS4 Pro.
Yep.
Like, okay, we're going to go through this again?
What we talked about, though, is an addition to that, where, in other words, during GDC, a while back, or not long ago, is that a lot of developers are also saying this is a negligible upgrade that really doesn't matter. Why do we need a PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5 Pro when all you're really getting is a light upgrade to it?
Yeah, I agree with that, you know? All right, so there's not really much more to say about this. All speculative anyway. We'll see. Next up, sponsored question. Mr. Ramudeth is sponsoring an extra Mob Hits question here. He wanted us to do this for everybody, but I'm not going to do that. It's just too much. What are the best...
Urbody?
Yeah, for Urbody. He wanted 5 answers from each of us. Like, bro, no. So we just, you know, just shoot shit off here. What are the best sequels of any generation? So, you know, Mega Man 2, obviously. You know, Mass Effect 2.
Mega Man X.
Mega Man X, you know.
The best sequels.
Resident Evil 2 was pretty good.
I mean, I would say, if, you know, given the... it's theoretically a reboot, but it's also a sequel. Metal Gear Solid is literally a sequel, but you know, to the previous Metal Gear games. So it is probably the best sequel that's ever been made for, you know, for that generation.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, for me, for the 360 generation, Mass Effect 2, Fallout 3 were probably some of the best sequels.
Super Mario 3, Super Mario World. Yeah. Jump in, guys. Just jump in. Just throwing random
sequels. I mean, just the whole, just Nintendo in general. That's all they do.
Super Metroid
2.
Which one? KOTOR?
KOTOR 2.
There you go. Yeah. Anything else? Just throw them in here. Here's the thing about video games. Go ahead. Which one?
Can we add Snake Eater on this list?
Of course. It's a sequel, technically. You know? This may not be as true now. This may not be as true now as was before, but the thing with video game sequels is they tended to be better than the first because they fixed the mechanics and everything, you know? But now there's other factors. Streets of Rage 2, people, you know, that was better. A lot of good sequels back in the Sonic 2. You could argue. I think it's better.
Castlevania, Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, yeah.
I was saying Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic sequel. Yeah. It is a sequel, even though it's the seventh one, it's a sequel, you know. All right, so that's good. Oh, shit, we're on the last question of the night. We didn't get a lot of questions tonight. This one's controversial, though, so I set that shit at the end. And I will just make a statement now. Some of us may not answer this question because we're in the gaming industry and we're not trying to have people dig this up 10 years from now and get us canceled. But I'll ask the question. I'm not against including minority groups in games. For example, I can't think of many games with Hispanic protagonists other than Miles Morales or Rico Rodriguez. Just cause. But is there a better way to go about this? How can we include minority groups in games without it being off-putting to most gamers? There's a conversation that's obviously going on right now, but I have thoughts, but I'm not going to answer this. So I'll let whoever wants to answer it jump in.
It's a weird one because it's like, how do, like, I don't understand how, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one for me.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer, but I'm not going to go into it. Go ahead.
Can you repeat the exact phrasing of that again so I make sure my answer is, you know?
Yeah, I'll just ask the whole question again. Yes, I'm not against including minority groups and gamers. For example, I can't think of many games with Hispanic protagonists other than Miles Morales or Rico Rodriguez. But is there a better way to go about this? How can we include minority groups and games without it being off-putting to most gamers?
I think it's just... At the risk of giving a stupid answer, do it good. So many things make a character or whatnot like a message, and they mean to make that message stand out. And that's fine to have like a theme or a moral to your story. But like if you make a character Mexican, like don't make a Mexican for like a cheap one shot or some, you know, brownie bonus good boy points. Like do it because it's a core part of the character, and it's you know, it has to do with the rest of the story. You know, don't just be like, by the way, I'm Mexican, and then just move on with your fucking story. Like that's weird. That's fucking weird. Like, don't do that.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with Brett. Just make a game. Make a good game. Don't make a game based off of what someone is. Sort of. It's like, oh, I'm a Puerto Rican guy, so the whole game is going to be I'm a Puerto Rican guy
with a Cuban flag in the house
with a Cuban flag with a Cuban boss.
I'm Cuban B.
So yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of these games you can put any race type character and they'll still work the same. I mean, like Cyberpunk, you can make V any race. You can make what's it called? Gears of War, any race, Halo, any race. A lot of these games, you can make the main character any race or gender, whatever, and it'll still work. But you know, when a game doesn't work and the emphasis is put into sort of the person's race and you either liking or hating it based on that, then you'll get into this whole identity politics conversation. And you'll go into a rabbit hole with just a bunch of people that have no time or discuss.
That's a good answer. All right, man. We're done here. As always, the show's predicated by you guys. But I like the questions. Even there weren't a lot of them, but I like the quality of the questions. And to me, that's important. So we're about to wrap up. It's good to be back. Hopefully, this will be normal moving forward. I think it should be, but we shall see. Life is life. But I miss being on the show. It's good stuff. Because there are certainly things happening in the game industry right now, which is good. We're not talking about the fucking lawsuits and litigations and bullshit. Isn't it nice to actually talk about games? Yes, there's some stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Also, something that happened as of right now.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news. Jim Ryan is no longer part of Sony. He's no longer CEO.
Oh, it's official now. It's official now. Yes. April 1st.
It's official.
It's not an April Fool's joke either. Oh, no. It's April Fool's. Be careful with the internet today, people.
Not even that. Let me do a PSA. This April Fool's thing, just leave it to the Americans. And it's not because we do it better than anyone. No, it's not any of that. It's because it's freaking Sunday afternoon. It's not even April Fool's Day yet. And you got these damn people 20 hours ahead doing April Fool's jokes. And I'm like, yo, this isn't even April 1st yet. We invented the holiday.
Yeah, leave it to us, ridiculous. Please. Yeah. And I saw that today. It already started. I'm like, you guys realize you're like 24 hours too early, right? Like, what are you doing? Damn foreigners.
It's in the spirit of the place where it was invented.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now, you know, but be aware, be wary today. It's that day. A lot of games that you wish were coming out are finally going to be announced today. It's going to be one of those. A lot of things that you wanted will be announced today. Tony endorsed Nintendo Switch on Twitter, April Fool's Day. I did that shit years ago, man. That motherfucker saw right through me too. You know, like, Tony, that's a bad April Fool's joke. Nobody will believe that you like Nintendo. It's true. I'm very consistent about that. There's never been a point where I'm like, oh, I love Nintendo. I've never said that shit on Twitter, you know? Fuck that. All right, man. So we are done here. Okay, speaking about plugs. So if things work out well on my end, you know, with the life stuff, I hope to do a mega podcast, possibly Saturday, covering all four Invincible episodes. I haven't seen them yet, but I'm hoping to watch them all and get together with the peoples and talk about it. Because I have seen the discussions on Twitter, obviously, because I, you know, read the books. So I'm like, oh, okay, they caught up to this. Cool. But I want to give my takes on the way the show has interpreted it. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be back to do that show. And hopefully, I'll also be back on Thursday, you know. So that's it for me. Yeah, and probably I got a lot of stuff. Because every fucking laptop manufacturer decided to release all their brand name, you know, the big name laptops within the last 2 weeks. So you're going to get a deluge of reviews from me over on Tom's Guide this week. It's just been a lot of stuff. I get the MSI Claw people. I reviewed that too, not a laptop. I got thoughts, man. And then again, if you read my editorial about it, the headline is, I wanted to like the MSI Claw, and then I played it. I think that tells you everything right there, man. Anyway, that's it on my end. Rich, what's going on with the coalition?
Yes. So earlier today, myself, Adam Vale, and Carlos Romero recorded the season finale of the award-winning show, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. Our boy Carlos cried throughout the entire episode because he was so emotionally invested in the show. So, yeah, you should check out what we had to say about that finale. And of course, I am Negan. The show is currently on YouTube, the Coalition YouTube, and it's on the website right now as well. So definitely check it out to hear our thoughts. We will be back with that show because there are a few other Walking Dead spinoffs that are going to drop later this year. So stay tuned for that. As for other stuff with the website, there are a couple of reviews that we are finishing up that will be out this week. And I do want to give a shout out to Tatiana because she finished her Final Fantasy Rebirth review. Yeah, awesome review. But I do want to give y'all a warning. It's over 4,000 words.
God so damn.
If you want to check it out, it's very detailed, very awesome review. If you want to check out and see what she has to say, I would encourage you to check it out on the website. But yeah, we have a lot of things coming. We're in a new month with a ton of games dropping, so stay tuned.
All right. Do we have anything else to plug around here? I'm going to take that as a no. We'll move on. 4,000 words. Jesus, man. And there I was with my review. I tried to keep that shit under 1,500. You know, I was like, Tony, yeah. Like, I eventually had to go like, okay, just don't go too crazy with this. But yeah, no, that's good stuff. Go play that game. By the way, that's another one. When I saw the trophy requirements, I'm like, I'm good. I'm not getting that platinum. I didn't get the platinum for the last one either, man. It was crazy. You know, it's like for hard mode, it's like you can't use potions. You can only like heal up at benches. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to do that to myself, man. You know, it's too much. But if you enjoy it, go ahead. And also, if you like sell a blade and you want to give yourself a challenge, take your clothes off. And I'm not even joking about that. That's hard mode, basically, you know. I literally not joking about that. that's hard mode for the game because like her, you know, like whatever armor she wears, that gives you an extra layer of armor. If you take that off, no armor for you, you know?
Yep. So it's armorless mode.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, people, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. subscribe to us on YouTube. We are back, people. You already know. Hit the like, subscribe, the bell, all that if you enjoy the episode. And obviously, join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. Shout out to you guys for all everything, man. You guys keep it going, you know. Throwdown, we're also on every podcast app on the planet, Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. And throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez. You're muted, sir.
So, see you next time. And also, I'm not backwards.
All right. Yeah. Well, again, because I have to flip it on my end. So, like, to you guys here in the Discord, I'm backwards. But to them, I'm fine. You got to, like, flip it. It's weird. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
My bloody pawn just missed the haystack and jumped off a cliff and now is dead.
This ain't Assassin's Creed.
Is it all? Can you resurrect him?
Yes, but now I need to go down there.
Oh, shit. You know, Dragon's Dogma, man. I'm loving the video clips on. My whole feed right now is Dragon's Dogma and fucking Stellar Blade. It's awesome, you know?
And now second one did the exact same thing. I swear.
What are they doing, lemmings, motherfuckers? All right, anyway, man.
Apatol didn't do that. Just saying.
He knows how to behave, man. You know? Shout out to everybody in chat. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Later, guys.